Last week, for those who were here, Imogen spoke to us about what it might mean to be living a life that was holy, that what it meant to be renewed in the Spirit so that we would be in the likeness of God in each and every step of the way. And she talked about how complex that might be. So this morning, as you heard in Ephesians, maybe we got a little bit more clarity of what that looks like in that letter, as the author continues to talk to us about what it means to be living as an offering to God. Living as an offering to God. So he begins with all these sort of, you might call them rules, you know, to give up falsehoods, or if you were reading a different translation, it would say, stop lying. Stop lying. And that we need to just speak the truth to our neighbors, not in a way that tears them down, but remembering that they are part of our body, part of the body of Christ. So speaking truth that builds them up. I want us to stop and think about that for just a moment. How many times are we quick to tell someone what they've done wrong and then forgotten to praise them for what they've done right? Quick to remind someone when they didn't call us when we needed them to call, but forget to thank them when they called so unexpectedly. Speaking the truth isn't always telling what we consider the truth to someone that they don't need to hear. Speaking the truth that builds them up is telling them the things that they do need to hear. And the primary thing that each and every one of us needs to hear was near the end of this passage when we're asked to be imitators of God as beloved children. As beloved children. What if the falsehood is the thing we continually tell ourselves, that we're not worthy, that we're not good enough, that we're not, that we're not, that we're not? And we can fill in the blanks with the things we think we're not. And we continue to degrade and diminish the wonder of who we are. But we, as beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, have the task to turn that around for our sister and brother and remind each other of what we are, of the gift that God has given this community in each and every one of us, that we are an offering to God. Now, I want us to stop just for a moment, and think about the offering. We do it every Sunday. I come out with the plates, and the ushers stand in the back, and sometimes they remember how they're supposed to split apart, and sometimes they don't. And so someone grabs for the plate and someone doesn't. And then I notice in the pews some are looking uncomfortable, like, oh, was I supposed to have something? Was I what? And we have this thing that's called a tithe that we think about as an obligation. That there is this obligation for me to tithe to the Lord. And there is. That's in the book, in the scripture. There is an obligation for us to give to God a percentage of what God has blessed us with. But what's an offering? Is that the same thing? Is my offering my tithe? What I put in that plate, am I offering something to God? Am I tithing to God? Is it legalistic in what I'm doing? Is this a transaction between me and God? Or is it a gift? An offering to the Lord. I asked this question because I have a sister. You know my family is not churched. And she started to attend a church, a congregational church in Massachusetts. And one day she took me to it. We went to worship together. That was so exciting. And she said, what am I supposed to put in that plate? I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, it comes by, and what am I supposed to put in that plate? I said, it's your offering, your tithe and your offering. Where, you know, the church has a budget and they live off of that budget, but also we have an obligation to give to God the thank you for what God has blessed us with. She goes, well, I understand that needing to help the church get along. She says, I can write a check and put that in the mail. But what's this plate? She didn't see that her tithe, her gift to make God's church run, was part of that offering. But for Barbara, oh, I ratted out my sister. For Barbara, it was that the offering meant something. This plate comes down. I'm supposed to put something in it. What am I supposed to offer the Lord? I understand the church needs to run and has a budget, and that I can take care of. But I don't understand this thing, this offering. And I thought about that in terms of this scripture this morning, where in the end of it, of the verses we got today, was live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, every moment from the time God thought to send God's Son, from the time that meeting with Mary happened, all of that was a love offering to God, but a love offering through us to God, because we received from that offering of Christ's life to God. So why, when we wonder, as the questions Imogen asked us last week, and sort of the questions that are in the scriptures this morning, we wonder what it means to live a life in love. Well, it's a love offering to God every moment of our life. So this set of rules for a new life would be rules if we're not looking at it as an offering. If we're looking at it like my sister Barbara, okay, so the church needs this in a budget to operate. I can give to that, but what's this when they're really combined? The rules of how to live as brothers and sisters of Christ, to live in love, is the same as making a love offering to God in each breath that we take, in each step that we make. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. But then the question is, but I can't live perfectly. I'm human. I get angry. Foul words do come out of my mouth every now and then. Maybe you shouldn't have known that. But we're human. But just think, even those days, even the worst days we could possibly have, if we're living them as best as we can, as people who love God and love one another, but things went horribly, awfully wrong, it is still a love offering to God. Why? Because our heart was seeking God's heart. Because our life, in every moment and step that we took, was for God. It is still a love offering. And when God receives that offering, whether we look at it and say, that wasn't much, or that cake didn't turn out so well, or whatever we're going to denigrate that love offering of that day, God looks at it and says, oh, my beloved child, I love you when you smile and sing and rejoice, and I love you when you get an F because you made your best effort, and your best effort is always the best that you can offer me. So be imitators of God as beloved children, and do your best to follow in the footsteps of Christ. My footstep story is my favorite story. You all know my two sons, Leo would be so blessed. You know my husband and my son. And if you've ever seen Leo walk from the rear, he has a very distinct walk. His wife really likes it, but it's his. And Wes often goes, Mom, what trait did I get from Dad? How have I imitated my father? I haven't gone into the military service. I haven't lived the life my dad lives. Well, if you ever look from the rear when Wes walks away, he's got it. Some girl's going to really like it. But they walk exactly alike. He has come to imitate his father, whether he knew it or not, and in many other ways, too, that I won't go into this morning. But he's got the best of us, and he's got the worst of us. But he's done that because of his love for those parents who have guided him along the way. God is guiding us along the way. And the one he has given us to show us how to imitate God's love for the world is Jesus Christ. So today, I'm not talking about your tithe and your offering. I'm talking about your life. May your life be a love offering to God in each in every moment. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.